From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. 1 year ago this month, a devastating explosion at a fireworks facility rocked the small Yolo County town of Esparto, instantly killing 7 people and starting a small wildfire. Multiple people have been charged with murder and a host of other felonies in connection to the blast, with cases moving through the court system. But the tragedy has also left deep scars on the rural community, leaving some residents concerned that the incident will overshadow Esparto's reputation and other issues that the small town is facing, especially those working in agriculture, who for months have been calling for help to get their crops to food insecure people across the region. Cap Radio reporters Chris Feltz and Gerardo Zavala traveled to Esparto in the immediate aftermath of the explosion, and they returned last week, which marked 1 year since the deadly explosion, speaking with residents and local officials about how they're reflecting and hoping to move forward. They join us now with their reporting. Hey, you two.
Hey, Vicky.
Hey, Vicky.
So, Chris, I want to start with you. How big is Esparto? I know it's a relatively small town. How many people live there?
Yeah, Esparto's a pretty small town. It has anywhere between 3,000 to 4,000 people. The town is very quiet. Depending on the day, part of the day, you probably won't see many people walking around. You'd be hard-pressed to even find a drive-through. I had one person tell me you might accidentally drive right through the town and not even know it. That same person said that you can go to the Dollar General on Highway 16 and you could end up even having a high school reunion. So pretty small.
Yeah, a small, tight-knit town, it seems like it. Well, Gerardo, before you were here at Cap Radio, you were a reporter at the Woodland Daily Democrat. So you covered Esparto as a reporter. How would you describe the community there?
Yeah, I mean, going back to what Chris said, I think I did drive through it the first time. So very, very true and accurate description. And yeah, it's very small. It's a tight-knit community. Some people I've spoken to there would call it small but mighty. And that's largely because it's the gateway to the Quepe Valley. It's a region known for being an agricultural powerhouse in Yolo County. And the region is also known for its annual Almond Festival, which is a 2-day regional celebration. It welcomes thousands every year to visit the 6 towns that make up the valley. And Esparto has become the main hub in recent years. It hosts a family day with vendors, food trucks, and even live music.
Well, Chris, you were out in Esparto last year, you and Gerardo, in the immediate aftermath of that explosion. What was the atmosphere like in those early days compared to what you saw last week?
Yeah, I remember that day pretty vividly. You know, for me, that had actually been the first day or so as a reporter here at Cap Radio. I remember seeing the video from the KCRA helicopter on X at the very moment the warehouse had exploded on that July 1st. And it was something I hadn't ever seen before. My first thought was it had to be fake, especially given the time we're in right now. My second thought was I hope nobody was in there. And as we know, tragically, there had been. I went to the press conference the day after the explosion when things were still very unclear. All we had known was there had been a fire at a storage facility which contained fireworks displays, and there were 7 people who were still missing. The press conference was very tense. There was so much media packed into this small 2-lane road about a mile away from the blast site, actually right next to that Dollar General that I was talking about. Fire engines right next to us, helicopters were flying above. You had family members demanding answers from CAL FIRE officials. Ciana Ruiz, the girlfriend of one of the victims, Jesus Ramos, she had been pregnant at the time, was upset with officials over the lack of information they had been receiving. And Vicky, you asked me about that day and what I saw compared to when we went last week. And apart from the small area where that media, where the media was stationed and the emergency vehicles that were there, the town actually looked pretty much and felt pretty much the same. After the media briefing had wrapped that day, I went down to Main Street and it felt, like I said, the same. Not many people were outside or in the shops, just sort of a small, quiet town. And honestly, I wouldn't have even known what was happening had I not come back from that press conference earlier.
Well, Chris, tell us about the people who were killed in that blast.
Yeah, there were 2 brothers, 18-year-old Jesus Ramos, as I mentioned, and 22-year-old Johnny Ramos. It was actually Jesus's first day on the job. Their stepbrother was also killed, 28-year-old Joel Melendez, 45-year-old Christopher Bocog, 41-year-old Neil Lee, 43-year-old Carlos Rodriguez Mora, and 18-year-old Angel Voyer.
Well, last week marked 1 year since that deadly explosion. You and Gerardo went back out to the community in Esparto. Just describe some of the people that you spoke with. Where were they when the explosion happened? What were their experiences like? What are they remembering?
Yeah, we were able to speak to a few people. We met Manuel Contreras at the Esparto Regional Library with his 4-year-old son, Torino. Contreras is a nurse who works in South Sacramento, and he said he and his son were at home watching cartoons when the explosion happened. Here he is describing just how scary that moment was.
I had just picked up his older siblings from school. We were hanging out by the couch, watching television, just relaxing. We were right next to our window, and we just felt the blast. You know, it shook the entire house. I looked outside of my window, and there was a mushroom cloud that I could see over. So it was definitely, you can imagine, it was very nerve-wracking. Considering the geopolitical climate, I didn't know what to make of it. Neighbors came out. We were just questioning, and I started seeing fireworks. So I kind of made my own, you know, assumption of what it was. And I think I hit the nail on the head. The thing that I can relate it to was, you know, 2001 September, you know? Yeah, that's what I can compare it to in that sense. It was just, didn't know what to make of it. I had fear for the little ones, so what was to come after I saw that mushroom cloud outside of my window?
Another person at the library we spoke to was Rigoberto Santana Bracamonte, who only spoke to us in Spanish, and he said that he had just gotten back from work, maybe 10 minutes or so, when he heard the explosion. He actually thought a plane had crashed, and he said windows had been shattered, and there were a bunch of people who went over to the site, including him, and he said that he was shocked that the police had not actually blocked it off yet at that point, and it wasn't until CHP showed up a little bit after and had the people dispersed. We also spoke with Jim Knight, who is an apricot farmer and owns Polestar Farm, which is about 2 miles from where the explosion happened. He was on his back patio where he puts on different events for the community. And he said he had been trying out his new sofas he had gotten.
I was literally sitting here looking that way, and the first two explosions went off. And the shockwave that came through here, I can only describe it being like being in a movie when you see the shockwave come, because it was like the trees moved. It was crazy. I mean, the dogs were inside. The neighbor's dog was running down the street. My buddy who lives on the hill, his mobile home was lifted off the foundation. I mean, it was the force of that first double explosion, which was immediate together, was crazy. So it was, you know, basically right there, right through that pole.
Yeah, just such a scary situation. Gerardo, you also spoke with local officials in the area, including Supervisor Angel Barajas. What did he have to say about the lasting impact of this explosion?
Yeah, he called it a tragedy that left a deep wound in the Esparto community and that he hopes that there will be justice soon. But that was kind of it. He didn't want to speak about the explosion too much. And instead, he directed me to a response to a civil grand jury report regarding the explosion.
Right. So much has just unfolded in the year since this deadly explosion. There are criminal court cases moving forward. There's that civil grand jury report. Chris, you previously reported on that grand jury report. What were some of the findings?
Yeah. So this was a scathing 32-page report titled Esparto Fireworks Explosion. Officials knew, none acted. It basically lays out how multiple county departments and law enforcement agencies really dropped the ball. The report focused on the Yolo County Board of Supervisors' sort of laissez-faire attitude towards new construction and businesses in the unincorporated areas, with the sheriff's department failing to enforce firework ordinances and lack proper training, which actually could have prevented these tragic events. They described a tip about the facility not being pursued. And so the grand jury recommendations included creating a fire warden position, increasing code enforcement staffing, improving training, and strengthening oversight of outside employment of sheriff's deputies.
Okay, so how did county officials in Yolo County respond to this report?
Yeah, Yolo County pushed back on that civil grand jury report. In a 20-page response released last month, the Board of Supervisors said the grand jury finished its report before the key facts had came out. Those include criminal indictments charging the fireworks operators with running a years-long scheme built on, you know, deception. And the county said it approved no fireworks activity at the site and got no notice when the state and federal licenses were issued. It says responsibility for the deaths rests with the people who built and concealed that operation. And the county did agree to adopt some of the report's recommendations, including more staffing training on county codes.
Okay, so 1 year later, what are they thinking about?
You know, I think many of the people in Esparto that we talked to do want answers for what happened, but one person I talked to really wanted it to be an objective look at this tragic event rather than the community coming to its own conclusions. Stephen Gordon owns Kadena Farm, which grows almonds, tomatoes, navel oranges, among other crops. He's also the vice president of the Esparto Regional Chamber of Commerce. He described to me sort of the town's reaction over the last year as being sort of hard-lined on either side with many arguments on social media. Here's what he had to say.
Anyone that has a personal vendetta or has a negative history with the sheriff's department automatically is looking at this as in a negative light, negative lens, or however you want to frame it, based on those experiences, not what this is. You know, you call a spade, someone that has a history based on, you know, their opinions based on their negative history with that specific sheriff or that incident. To me, that doesn't relate to what happened here and what happened on that property or who's responsible for that happening in my mind.
Okay, so there's a variety of different views. I mean, the two of you went to Esparto marking 1 year since that explosion. But Gerardo, is this an event that people in Esparto are still talking about and want to keep talking about?
It's hard to say if they want to keep talking about it. I think most of the people we spoke to don't, but there's certainly some people who you know, definitely think it's important to keep talking about. It has brought some attention to the community, whether that's good or bad. You know, even the Almond Festival, I was told, had more people come that year because people had looked up Esparto, right? They didn't know about this place and then suddenly found out, you know, some of the things that it's known for. So, yeah, some people do want to move on from the explosion and focus on other issues that community members are facing on a daily basis. For some, it's state and federal agricultural policies that make farming difficult in the area. And for others, it might be something like education or even food insecurity.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio reporters Chris Feltz and Gerardo Zavala about how the Yolo County community of Esparto is remembering a deadly fireworks explosion that took place 1 year ago this month. So, Gerardo, I mean, you talk about ag being really big in the town of Esparto. It's one of a big issue for many residents. It's a big concern for residents revolving around agriculture. How central is farming to this town? Is it a big anchor to this community?
Yeah, agriculture is deeply rooted in Esparto. That can be seen in the many small family-owned farms in the town. You know, some of these have been in business for decades. And any issue around agriculture or farming really is a big deal for the community.
Mm-hmm. And you have reported that at the center of this is the Local Food Purchase Assistance Program. What exactly does this program do?
So this program has been a pretty big deal for small farmers. It's a federal program that was actually created during the Biden administration. So it's only been around for a few years. But in that time, it's proven to be critical for many of these small farms, especially any operating on thin margins. And the way it worked was that the USDA would issue grants to state agencies. I would then distribute these funds to local food banks, schools, and other nonprofits. The funds would then be used to purchase food directly from local farmers. Beth Smoker with the California Food and Farming Network told me the biggest benefit she's seen was that it allowed for better planning.
So a lot of these farmers that are using this money, you know, what's planted in the ground right now affects what's planted in the ground like 8 months later based on, you know, what and nutrients it needs in the soil and what the plant there, you know, took in and put out. And so they were able to do very real crop planning, knowing that they would then have a market to buy that produce. And so it was really stable. So that's honestly one of the largest things I heard was this more long-term stable crop planning, which is crucial to a small farmer's viability.
Okay, so how bad is food insecurity in Yolo County? What kind of impact has this program had to fight food insecurity?
So food insecurity is a very serious problem in the county. As recently as 2 years ago, a survey from the county food bank found that roughly 1 in 3 households were experiencing food insecurity, with higher rates in rural communities like Esparto and the rest of the Quepe Valley. Although the LFPA wasn't created to directly address the food insecurity crisis, advocates say the program, you know, allows food to stay in the communities that they were grown in, which is a big deal to addressing the issue anywhere.
Mm. What challenges has the program faced?
So funding for the program ended earlier this year after cuts from the Trump administration's federal budget bill took effect. The last of any remaining contracts utilizing those funds ended last month. So small farmers across the country, especially those from marginalized communities, have already lost access to these dependable markets that the program helped create.
Okay. I mean, I would imagine these farmers are talking to local and state officials. How has that been going?
So Stephen Gordon, who Chris mentioned earlier, he owns Cadena Farm in Esparto, and it's been in his family since 1971. He took it over around the start of the pandemic after his grandfather passed. And a few months back, I actually attended a meeting that he had with other small farm advocates and Assembly Majority Leader Cecilia Aguirre-Curry, who also happens to represent the district his farm is in. Here's what Gordon had to say about the program.
I wouldn't be here today if the program wasn't important to us directly. It's a been instrumental to our growth in the last 5 years, especially since I took over operations. It's been incredibly important on a local level to even get our fruit or our products anywhere near our local schools. Even making the connections is all part of the same program is because of this.
And the advocates then were asking for the state to backfill the program for at least 3 years, which would provide a bridge for small farmers until the program is possibly reinstated in the federal farm bill. That is very likely, given that the program is very popular and it's currently being negotiated in Congress. Both chambers have proposed versions of the farm bill that would include something similar to the program.
Okay, so you mentioned that these farmers talked with local lawmakers. So what do state legislatures have to say about these farmers' concerns? Is there an appetite, that political will, to provide more funding?
Yeah, there definitely is an appetite to continue providing funding, but I think it is also difficult for lawmakers to commit to any longstanding commitments as the state continues facing its own ongoing budget issues. But advocates did score a small but still significant win with the signing of the state budget. It includes $15 million to continue the program. That's a third of the $45 million ask that advocates had, but it translates to about a year of that bridge funding.
Okay, so it's a fraction, but it is something that, that allows this to keep moving forward. Going back to the explosion that happened in Esparto, are lawmakers talking about potential legislation to prevent another Esparto-type disaster from happening again?
Yes, yeah, so Democratic State Senator Christopher Cabaldon, who represents Esparto, introduced a bill that would require more oversight of firework storage facilities and improve information sharing between state and local officials. He said current law left officials in the dark about what was being stored in the warehouse.
State and local officials were unaware of what was sitting in that warehouse because the law didn't require anyone to tell them. Didn't require the state and the county and the fire district to share information.
Okay, so there's legislation. What's the likelihood it'll pass? What has the response been like?
There's actually a lot of support for the bill, and it's already cleared the Senate. It's currently making its way through the Assembly. There are some concerns on how the bill might impact rocket hobbyists, but the author is aware of those concerns, although it's unclear if any of those changes will be made.
So more reporting for you.
Yes, definitely.
Well, Chris and Gerardo, thank you so much for taking the trip and sharing those voices.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
That is CAP Radio reporters Chris Feltz and Gerardo Zavala talking about the Yolo County community of Esparto and how they're remembering a deadly fireworks explosion that took place 1 year ago this month. Up next, the Supreme Court recently delivered a wave of pivotal rulings on immigration. We'll unpack those rulings and how they'll impact immigration in our area. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.